bro. And he's like, you walk into a bar, any bar in Knoxville.
It's playing.
You walk in, boom, Mo Bamba. You go up to the bar, you get a beer. 5 minutes later, you drink like half of that beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. You finish that beer, you go to the bathroom, you go back to the bar to get another beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. It's Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba, and Mo Bamba.
What's that song called again?
Mo Bamba.
Hour two of overtime is coming at you live here on your Tuesday. 1 hour down, one more remaining with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Tanner Carson, Julia Ramsey, intern Will Stevens with you. Ended a great hour one. It was really a lot of SEC Media Days talk. Our own Trey Wallace called in on his way back up from Hoover. Ran through a quick summary everything you needed to know about Tennessee's appearance in front of the media today. Talking season has officially began. Also, we had the reaction to the Knoxville Beer Board officially granting permits to Aramark and the University of Tennessee to sell alcoholic beverages.
Big day.
At Neyland Stadium, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Regal Soccer Stadium.
Big day.
Big day. The official sale of beer and wine is imminent. At the University of Tennessee, we had the reaction to that because finally we were able to break news on our show.
I know.
Seems like a very rare treat. Seems like something that we don't get gifted as often.
We don't.
So that was definitely a joy to do that. And we gave you today's daily Mount Rushmore just before we ended hour number one. We gave you our Mount Rushmore of clothing brands. So if you missed any of that, have no fear. We'll have it up in podcast form. Upload to SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you may enjoy your podcasting. And we'll tweet out that link right after the show's conclusion. Today's a big day in history, by the way, guys. I'm sure you've seen some people talking about it, either on social media or on the news somewhere. Do you know what I'm talking about? Today's anniversary or something?
I do.
Nope.
We'll go. What is it?
The moon landing, if I'm correct. Or 50 years.
Close.
Apollo.
50 years since the launch of Apollo 11.
That's what it was. I knew it was something to do with the moon. I listened to The Blitz this morning, and they were talking about it.
Well, that won't be on this day in history.
No, I figure that would have been too easy. I will say today is like an amazing day in history.
Wow.
There was a lot of stuff I could have picked, but I picked two good ones, and this wasn't even one of it. But yeah, today was the launch of Apollo 11 50 years ago today. And, of course, Neil Armstrong became the first man to step on the moon on July 20th. So yeah. The 20th is the day of the actual landing.
Okay.
Right.
But, yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no, I don't worry. I'm not using that as a this day.
Dang it.
Sorry.
We were prepared for
Sorry,
one.
Julia. I can't make it that easy. I got to make you think a little bit.
That's big stuff, though.
It's absolutely huge stuff.
Where do y'all stand on the whole moon landing
thing? Oh, it happened.
It definitely happened.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure.
I guess the reasoning that people would have to doubt is because, you know, this is right in the middle of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
You had to beat the Soviets in the space race because they had already sent a satellite into space. They had already sent a man to space before you did.
Yeah.
So you need to beat them to the moon. And you did do that, and I get it. I get that, but at the same time, man, we worked a long time on this. There's a lot of people that put in a lot of dedication, not just Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins, the three men part of the Apollo 11 mission, but you know the other Apollo missions before that. Talk about John Glenn mm-hmm. as well. You know, not to mention all your physicists, your engineers, etc., who worked for NASA.
Yeah.
And think about this. They sent people to the moon in the late 60s. Think about this. Think about all the computing power that was put up there
mm-hmm.
to be able to accomplish something like that. We have, like, all that computing power, like, in our phone.
Yeah. I know.
Which is even more crazy. So they were doing that by today's standards with primitive technology.
Yeah.
So no, I do not believe that it was faked. I get why people might think that. Nah.
I don't.
These are the two main reasons why I know for, or I believe that I know for a fact that it was for real. Was one, the technology needed to produce the exact same like light formations that the sun rays would be expelling onto the moon would have had to be, would have cost more and probably been harder to get than the actual rocket ship itself, because they were.
Wow.
I watched a video talking about how the way the rays of light worked, you would have to have like a thousand little lasers pointed at a certain way, and it would cost too much money to get that. And I'm blanking on my second point, and that's really embarrassing because I'm trying to prove the moon.
I think the first point
is pretty valid. Yeah.
Oh, and also the Soviet Union and Australia, two nations that we treated very badly during this so-called space race or during the Cold War,
right. Both
completely, they didn't say, no, you didn't get it. They agreed with us. They condemned.
Did you say Australia?
Yeah, Australia was.
How we treat Australia bad?
Australia in the 60s. It was part of the video I watched. I don't know the exact details behind it. But
I'm not doubting you. That's the first time I've heard Australia mentioned.
I know that they said that we did land. Like, they confirmed it, too, on one of their satellites, and the Soviet Union confirmed it as well. Like, nations we weren't necessarily the nicest to stuck up for us. Why would two nations stick up for us unless we actually did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my little soapbox for the day.
Well, how about that? We'll throw the gauntlet down on all you tinfoil hat-wearing people out there. But yeah, today's 50th anniversary of the launch. And saying that, you know, obviously this is something that was way before our time, but it still makes you look and be like, wow, what, 50 years? This has really been 50 years since this happened?
It's crazy.
But yeah, and 20th anniversary of the actual landing here. I have seen this before, but this is something that's gaining some attention today. So have you seen this article talking about this typed up address to the nation that President Nixon would have had to give in the event that Apollo 11 blew up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a complete disaster, or B, they got to the moon, but they couldn't get back.
I have not.
No, I haven't.
It was a real fear that they were going to get stuck up there. It was a real fear about the lunar lander and the vehicle. A lot of things could have went wrong.
Yeah.
There's this typed up address. The title is in full caps: "In event of moon disaster."
Oh wow!
Nixon would have had to sit down in the Oval Office, nationally televised address, and had to tell the nation about these three brave souls that are just going to be stuck on the moon and die.
Right.
Can't get them back. Sorry.
What do you say?
Let me zoom in here because it's very... here we go. "In event of moon disaster." So this was something completely prepared because you had to be prepared for this.
Had to.
You know, thankfully, it was a mission accomplished. We beat everybody else to the moon. Suck it, metric system.
Right.
Suck at communism.
We're ahead of everybody.
That's the type of speech that he did give. However, it reads, "Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace."
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's a heavy statement.
It's like that horror movie.
That is heavy.
It's like out of sci-fi. It's like there are like monsters on the moon and just 8 Neil Armstrong alive.
Wow.
They will have to. I hear Nixon, "I'll have to rest in peace on the moon, you Jeez. Dirty hippies." These brave men, Neil Armstrong and, Buzz Aldrin, Edwin Aldrin.
Edwin Aldrin.
Ah,
I like Buzz.
"Know that there is no hope for their recovery." This is the bleakest thing I've ever read.
This is so sad.
"But they also know that there is hope for mankind and their sacrifice." This doesn't get better. "These two men are laying down their lives in mankind's most noble goal, the search for truth and understanding. Mm. They will be mourned by by their families and friends. They will be mourned by their nation. They will be mourned by the people of the world. They will be mourned by a Mother Earth that dared send two of her sons into the unknown."
Oh, my goodness.
This is like some...
Who wrote this?
Nixon speechwriter. Oh! In their exploration, they stirred the people of the world to feel as one. In their sacrifice, they have more tightly, what is this? They bind more tightly the brotherhood of man.
Mm.
Gosh. Well, I'm thankful this didn't have to happen.
Yeah. That would
Dear
be
Lord.
Very that, that would be in talks of like top 10 saddest speeches given by a president in United States history. I mean, that had to happen.
That opening line is just like, wow.
Like, I'm a little upset, and I know for a fact it didn't happen.
It didn't happen,
right? Oh, man. That's... You have to be prepared for the worst if you're a leader like that, though. You just have to. Man, that's making me think of some other, like, bleak... just in the event of tragedy, things that I know that are saved. Fun fact. Did you know that in the event that the world is ending by nuclear war, disease... zombies, what have you, in the event that the world is going to end and that most of mankind is going to be wiped out, CNN has a tape ready to be played.
Oh, my goodness.
I did not know that.
Ted Turner himself prepared this in the 80s.
Oh,
just in case.
My goodness.
And I think, hold on, let me type CNN apocalypse, CNN apocalypse video. Yeah, it's like a 5-minute video. Listen to this.
Wonder what he would say.
Oh, it's not Ted Turner. Are you asking at him? What are you talking
about? Or what they would say, like, for the...
Oh.
Yeah. No, not him.
No, okay.
I said he, but yeah, what would be the contents of this statement?
So... I'm reading about the CNN thing. I don't know if this would happen in the event that the world ended tomorrow, but at least during the Cold War, they had this prepared. It leaked online just a few years ago. It's very strange. It's very strange. Said that the video had passed in the CNN lore by the time that Mike Balaban, now an editor with Jalpinik, worked as an intern at the network in 2009. As rumor had it, the billionaire founder of CNN, Ted Turner, a man known for his eccentricities as for his wealth and media legacy, had called for the preparation of a video to air in the event of nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
The legend circulated for decades, boasted by Turner's own words in June 1980 when he said, "We're going to go on air June 1st, because CNN went on air June 1st, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Turner said, "We're going to go on air June 1st, and we're going to stay on until the end of the world. When that time comes, we'll cover it, play Nearer My God to Thee, and sign off."
Sign off.
So this is a video of a full band playing Nearer My God to Thee.
Oh, my goodness. This is so dark.
It lasts just for a little more than a minute. It shows just what Turner said it would. A military band stands in formation between the columns of the Turner Broadcasting Mansion and the circular reflecting pool that lay on the lawn in the 1980s. One soldier raises a flag to the right, the musicians raise their instruments, and they begin the mournful hymn mentioned by Turner, said by survivors to be the last song played by the band on the Titanic.
Oh, no.
That song. It's that song. Oh, it says the low resolution obscures the faces of the musicians who finish a brief version of the song and snap their instruments to attention. The video fades to black.
This is awful.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's absolutely terrible.
The Titanic song. Wow.
Would that be calming to people? I guess, like, if they knew that nukes were incoming and they just had their TVs on their bunkers or something. Would that be calming or something?
I don't know. Every time I hear that song, it makes me want to cry.
I mean, now you're just going to think of the Titanic.
Yeah.
Because obviously that was recorded before the movie, you know, came out in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What I don't think if nukes were inbound, I'd be trying to turn on CNN.
Definitely not.
I think by then I would know that nukes are coming. I don't need any more news.
No.
That's crazy, though. But, yeah, you...
Would you be on Twitter?
Oh, I'd be live... No. The apocalypse has to be live tweeted. Imagine the last memes of civilization.
I don't want to imagine.
Imagine if this was something we had more time for. Like, if it's an asteroid the size of Nebraska, just pummeling
it's
straight towards
in.
The Earth. We already tried to do an Armageddon-type mission. We sent oil drillers up to the asteroid to try to blow it up. They all died. Or they did blow it up and split into two pieces that are still going to hit Earth. We're all doomed. Let's tweet this. Let's get these memes off.
Let's get them off.
We'll have like a whole recollection of the best memes of civilization.
Oh my goodness.
We'll start with Grumpy Cat.
At least we go out with memes.
We'll go to all the greatest vines.
We'll
make a stop at Harambe. We'll end with the Area 51 raid. No, that's what I'll bring on the apocalypse. Trying to raid Area 51.
Okay. Seriously.
So Nixon had that really bleak statement about in case of emergency about the moon landing.
So that's in case, that speech is in case they got to the moon and they were stuck there. I haven't found the other speech he had in case the rocket ship blew up.
How bleak do you think Mr. Trump's address is going to be after the Area 51 raid?
Oh, man.
We sent our best memers to the desert, yeah, but you cannot take down the U.S. military. They died in a huge fireball.
Huge.
I was actually thinking of a Trump address. I was thinking about
China cannot help us.
Well, we try to send people to Mars. During his time, he has to make a speech if people get stuck on Mars. They will die with the red rocks. Those red rocks they tried to explore, they'll be the burial ground. Sorry, folks. Sorry.
Man.
Huge disaster. The worst.
Huge.
This has gotten really bleak. Let's take a break and try to gain our humanity. 865-546-8200 to get on the Next Door Home Network hotline here. More overtime in hour two coming up after this. We are back on overtime here. SEC Media Day is going on this week, of course, but we turn our attention to the Big 12 here. The nation holds its breath to wait on the fate of how this will be treated in the upcoming season. I'm talking, of course, about players doing the horns down.
Oh!
Horns down, baby.
Players insulting Texas in the Big 12 doing the opposite of the hook 'em horns. Well, the Big 12's weighing in on it, and they weighed in on it today here. So, give you some background here. The inverted hook 'em horns has experienced somewhat of a resurgence ever since being called for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on West Virginia. It was West Virginia, Texas. I think it was Sills, right? It was David Sills. He scored a touchdown, or it was him or Will Greer.
I think it was Will Greer,
was
to,
it Greer
to
first?
Someone in the student section.
So you have the West Virginia players doing the horns down against Texas. They're getting called for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Jeez.
Like what's going on here? What's going on here? So it had a resurgence. Obviously, if you're a fan of Oklahoma, you're a fan of Texas A&M, Texas Tech, schools that have some heated rivalries with Texas, TCU as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing the horns down a lot.
Yeah.
It's ultimate sign of disrespect to Texas fans. Well, you know, the Big 12, obviously, they thought that was too far. You can't go after our golden boys in Texas. You can't do that. We're going to flag you.
Wow.
We're going to flag you. So today, at Big 12 Media Days, conference coordinator of football officials Greg Burks, he weighed in on the matter after being asked how the league will respond to the gesture this year if players flash the sign going forward. So, he said, it depends. It depends, he says.
Interesting.
However, according to Burks, intent will be the primary factor that officials will take into account when it comes to dealing with the instantly recognizable jab at Texas or any celebration of any kind, too. Burke said, if somebody scores real quickly, turns to their cheering section, and it's real quick and moves on, will probably not react like that.
Hmm.
Okay, so quick, horns down after a score. That's all fine and dandy.
Okay.
So if you're watching Oklahoma, Texas this year in the Cotton Bowl, Jalen Hurts runs in for a touchdown to seal the game. He does a real quick, horns down, no flag.
Okay.
However, though, he said if they happen to turn to the other crowd or the other bench or it's prolonged towards another player, it will be treated like any other unsportsmanlike act. So they're going to consider it taunting.
That's ridiculous.
Regarding Texas players and coaches, because obviously their opinions matter so much, They have stronger sentiments on the Jester than others. Sam Ellinger, following the West Virginia loss last fall, we remember his tweets. He said, "I remember every single team and player that disrespects the rich tradition of Texas by putting the horns down."
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, it ain't that deep, man.
It's really not.
When you do the horns down, you know what you're doing? You're spitting on Sam Houston. You're spitting on everyone who died at the Alamo.
No.
You're spitting on, name me some Texas people. You're spitting on Hank Hill.
Mac Brown.
You're spitting on Mac Brown, even though he's in North Carolina. you're spitting on Governor Greg Abbott. You're spitting on Ted Cruz.
Jeez.
You're being very disrespectful. You're spitting on Vince Young. You're spitting on Ricky Williams. Earl Campbell. You're spitting on all of them just by doing horns down. Man, take it easy. Take it easy, Sam. It ain't that deep.
No.
It is not that deep. This is what Tom Herman said. He said, "It's flattering that we are on so many other people's minds." I like that approach more. He's not whining about it. Ellinger sounds like he's whining about it. Burke says another piece of advice for people who are wanting to do the horns down. He says, "By rule, anything prolonged and designed to bring attention to the individual rather than the team is a foul. My advice is that if you want to do that back in your bench area."
Hmm.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the way the Big 12's handling it. I think that's exactly how it should be handled, because obviously you can't penalize every time someone puts the horns down, because then it looks like you're favoring Texas. But if you don't penalize it at all, it's still a taunt nonetheless, regardless of if it's as serious as all these Texas people are making it out to be. So you have to at least have them tiptoe a line. But I would like to see a better line drawn than "it depends."
It depends.
Don't be too mean about it. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no.
You need a definitive line before someone starts complaining about it. Because if someone does it and it costs someone a game here in the upcoming seasons, this is going to be the biggest story coming back from the 2019 offseason.
My viewpoint on punishment of most celebrations, most of them, there's obviously some that are like, "Come on, man, you're just showboating way too bad. You probably deserve an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty." My thing's always been, if you don't like the opponent celebrating, don't let them score.
Seriously.
Don't let them make a big play.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty simple. Will, when you were talking about the penalty and having to be consistent about it, my mind just went to the 2017 Florida game. Remember when John Kelly got penalized for doing the Gator Chomp after that touchdown?
I do remember that. That was
that infuriates me.
I was mad.
To this day, it infuriates me. He's not going up and down the end zone doing chomp, chomp, chomp. He just did a 1-2 real quick, and that gets penalized.
That's ridiculous.
I remember in 2012, Florida, Trey Burton scores a touchdown. He does the chomp all the way across the end zone, but since it's their thing, I guess they can't be penalized. Like, really, if one of your things is a type of taunt hand gesture,
right,
don't be a baby when it gets thrown back on in your face. That's just the spirit.
It's part of competition.
Spirit of it.
Yeah. I think this is overblown.
Do I sound too biased here talking about the John Kelly thing? Because that still irks me.
No, I was mad about it. That's one of the penalties. Like, there's some calls, if I go back in my sports memory, which obviously isn't very long, but if I go back and think about them, there's some I don't really remember unless someone would bring it up. But that John Kelly call goes hand in hand with, like, the Jarnell Stokes call against Michigan that one tournament year. Just, like, bad calls. That's one of the calls I always remember, just because we scored. Like, we got a good touchdown, and all of a sudden it took away every single ounce of momentum we had just because he decided to gator chomp as a joke.
I don't like the way this is heading. Just ruining college football. Like, it's competition. You have that, you know, as your thing. Like, teams that are playing you. Yeah, you can tell the difference between excessive unsportsmanlike gestures and just, you know, taunting like that. Like, you can tell. Everyone can tell. If it's really bad, yeah, give them a penalty. But I don't know. I think it's just a little bit overblown.
I just hate the inconsistency. I think that's my biggest issue. Yeah, that's what the Big 12 is saying. Show the spirit of competition, but do it really quickly. Don't do too long. We'll throw that flag 15 yards. Better watch out. Watch out how much you're enjoying this game here. You know, You better not enjoy it too much. We don't want you to have fun out there. We don't want you to have fun. We don't want you to have any type of benefit to slaving away playing this game here while maintain a full student schedule as well.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you enjoy yourself?
We already don't compensate you, but you're still not allowed to enjoy yourself at all.
Not at all. Not at all. You gotta be like that kid in that propaganda video we put out about the basketball player. You know, he's waking up early, doing some practice, but he makes time to hang out with his friend. He's going to class, and he's playing games, hitting the game-winning shot, and then still making time to study and everything. Yeah. You gotta be like that guy, because that's realistic. Long live the horns down! Long live the horns down! Long live! Long live the celebrations, throwing it back in the face of other schools.
Yeah, I mean, now you know everyone. They're bringing so much attention to it. Now everybody's going to want to do it.
I hope.
Don't be so soft, Texas. Come on.
I know LSU plays Texas week two. Does Texas have a big game week one?
No, they open their season against Louisiana Tech August 31st.
Okay.
I'm reading that. I didn't know Texas' schedule right off the back of my hand.
You're fine. LSU, I hope Joe Burrow just does it.
I hope Beto does it. I hope he comes out of the tunnel.
Horns down, go Tigers.
We're coming. Birthdays is coming up next, actually, here. 865-546-1800. Get on to the Nextdoor Home Network hotline here. It's Will versus Julia on this Tuesday edition of Birthdays when we return. Got birthdays here. Birthdays is coming at you here. July 16th. I got three birthdays and two this day in histories.
All right.
It's a great this day in history. Obviously, since we just covered it, the launch of Apollo 11 is not going to be on here.
Dang it.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
I wanted a freebie. I'm not going to lie to you.
I can't give y'all a gimme that easy. But before we get to it, I want to tell you about our brand new phone line sponsor, the Next Door Home Group, with Eli Corum, with Keller Williams Realty. No gimmicks, just results. They're top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. Very straightforward team who gets the job done with money left in your pocket. They will give you a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corum has a top-notch team that is the most the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry. Negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market as well. Give Eli Corum and his team at the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams a call at 865-233-9461. That's 865-233-9461. Or just visit nextdoorhomes.com. Once again, that's Eli Corum and the Next Door Home Group with Keller Williams. No gimmicks, just results. Shout to them for being the brand new sponsor of our phone lines here. If you want to give the Next Door Home Group hotline a call, just give us a shout at 865-546-8200. Now, it's time to get to the game here. We don't have a good quantity amount of birthdays. However,
quality over quantity
is good quality. This gets a solid A.
Yes!
Quality gets a solid A here. So let's go ahead and get into our first birthday. She is 37 years old today. She's an American athlete. Let me get up her profile here. She is a women's soccer player. Two-time Olympic
Megan
gold
Rapinoe.
Medalist. No. It's not Megan Rapinoe. Two-time gold medalist, two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion, two-time FIFA Player of the Year 2015 and 2016 is Captain America,
yes.
Carly Lloyd herself.
My favorite.
I'm a big fan of Captain America.
I love her.
I'll never forget her absolutely taking it to Japan
yes.
in the 2015 final.
The GOAT.
That was absolutely. You can say what you want to about which members of the U.S. women's team are likable and unlikable. Carly Lloyd is so likable.
She's awesome.
Love Carly Lloyd. I doubt she'll be in the next World Cup because.
Yeah, I don't think
she is 37.
Yeah. I don't think she'll be back.
What a great career she has had.
At least she got to go out a champion.
Absolutely. Back-to-back champion.
Yeah.
So, Carly Lloyd, first birthday today, and Juliet is on the board first. 1-0. Next birthday here, he is 51. We got another athlete here. NFL Hall of Famer. I will tell you, he was in the class of... What class was he in here? I cannot find the class here, but... He retired in 1998 was his last season. He had a career from 89 to 98 with this one team. He was a 10-time Pro Bowler, one of the best to ever do at his position. He was also a Heisman Trophy winner in college. Plays college football at Oklahoma State. He's a running back.
Barry Sanders.
It is Barry Sanders.
Yep.
Entire career with the Detroit Lions.
Yep.
Ugh, just wasted away. Wow. All 10 seasons he was a Pro Bowler, by the way.
Dang.
Retired pretty early, some people would say, but... He knew when to call it quits.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he only made the playoffs at, was it 90? I think it was 91 was the only season they, or not made the playoffs, but made a deep push into the NFC Championship game. Other than that, they didn't do much.
He really didn't. I'm trying to look up some of his seasons here. That 91 season, they won the NFC Central, went 12-4. Yeah. They
got blanked by the Redskins?
Yeah, they did. Look at you, Will, being a historian.
He knows.
Yeah, it was 91. Missed him in 92, lost a wild card in 93 to the Packers by 4 points. Mm. Lost a wild card to the Packers again the next year in 94.
Jeez.
And then in 95, lost a wild card again, this time to the Eagles. Ooh, how about this? 58 to 37.
Wow.
That was the score.
That's a high scoring game.
For the 90s? Yes. And then no playoffs in 96. Man, just Barry just wasted away there. Lost a wild card in 97. His final season, they went 5-11, didn't qualify. Man, poor Barry.
I feel like he was obviously one of the greatest running backs of all time. One change of scenery, and I think he could be the greatest running back of all time.
Probably.
Oh, you put him on the Cowboys instead of Emmitt Smith.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
They win all the Super Bowls that they do, and probably a few more.
Definitely.
Man, you got him, and you also have Megatron as well. Like, players in Detroit, they're some of the best at their position of all time, but... You know, retired early, and it's like, you know, what could have been.
Yeah.
What it could have been if they weren't in that wasteland that's the Lions.
Poor Barry.
His college stats are insane.
Barry Sanders?
Specifically his 1988 season. So listen to this here. So for 1988, how about this here? This is just rushing. 2,850 yards rushing. 42 rushing touchdowns. He had 3 games where he rushed for 5 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah, multiple games over 300 yards. Absolutely insane. He set 34 Division I records during his college career. He still holds these records. Most rushing yards in the season. Most rushing touchdowns in the season. For some reason, the bowl game against Wyoming, the stats are not counted. But he still holds the record. So he has, like, officially 5 less touchdowns and, like, 200-something less yards.
Huh. Hmm.
Which is weird, but he still holds the record.
That is weird.
Tied with Monte Ball for the most touchdowns in the season at 39. Most games rushing for 300-plus yards in the season and career with 4. Highest average rushing yards per game in the season at 238.9.
Wow.
And most points scored in the season at 234.
Jeez.
Do you know who's
the real deal?
Trivia. Guess who his quarterback was that season?
At Oklahoma State?
Yes. He's a guy that's associated with Oklahoma State.
Can't think of anyone.
It's Mike Gundy.
I was going to say that, but I really did not know.
Mike Gundy was a 4-year quarterback at Oklahoma State.
Wow.
I don't know if he was a starter all 4 years, but yeah.
He was there.
So there you go.
Wonder if he had the mullet.
Oh, probably.
That's probably where it got started.
The mullet was in style in the late 80s, man. I bet he did. But anyway, tied up 1-1 here. Last birthday today before we get into this day in history. And this is the big A-lister today. This is your big A-lister.
Okay.
Once I can... Oh, come on. Don't tell me internet's down. Okay. Well, I could give you hints about me anyway, even if it was down. He is 52 years old today. American actor, comedian, producer, writer, and businessman. He first established himself in the mid-90s as a cast member of Saturday Night Live. And he has been in comedy blockbusters such as Step Brothers.
Will Ferrell.
It is Will Ferrell. Step Brothers, Anchorman, Talladega Nights,
So many more.
Old School, Elf, Blades of Glory.
Kicking and Screaming.
Kicking and Screaming. Daddy's Home.
I'm a little upset about that one. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I got it. I didn't get it in time. I'm just upset at myself.
I should have given like harder hints, like
Saturday Night Live. And
he went to college at USC.
If you would have given that first, I probably would have gotten it. Just Saturday Night Live was too broad, and as soon as you said Step Brothers, it was a race.
it was really a race to say Woofer. Julia did win the race though. Hence
Love him.
Oh, we're having problems with Periscope. Why?
Jeez.
Are Wi-Fi still up?
I don't know.
We shall see.
Let's test.
I think we're okay. Either way, I got this day in history up here, so.
Okay.
2-1 lead for Julia. If she gets either one of these this day in history questions, she gets the dub.
Please.
However, it's still anybody's ball game. Will has to get both of these. I told you July 16th is amazing this day in history, so.
Good.
The ones we're not going to do. We covered, obviously, today's the 50th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11.
Right.
Will, you also, what was it related to Joe DiMaggio?
It was Joe DiMaggio. Today he hit his 56th straight game, which is still the record.
Which is a record which will never be broken.
Correct.
Probably not.
July 16th is an amazing day. Amazing day in history.
Okay.
Let's do this first one here. And let me get all the details up here. So we go this day in 1945. On this day in 1945 at 5:29 a.m., this was the first ever test of this weapon in New
Mexico.
Atomic bomb. It is the atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb.
The Manhattan Project comes to an end. The first atom bomb is successfully tested in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Hmm.
Yep, today was the first one, and then the next month you were dropping two on Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened pretty quickly.
We did do that.
All right. It all comes down to a winner take all.
Oh, geez.
This day in history, Julia's favorite type.
No, not.
I'm telling y'all, this is a fantastic day. We go to this day more recently in 1995.
Oh, no.
On this day, 1995, this company officially opened for business. This company officially opens for business as an online bookseller.
Amazon.
eBay. It is Amazon.
Let's go.
Dang it.
My first real dub with Tanner as the host.
No.
Will gets the come from behind
Amazon.
Dub within
Why
a month.
I think that was like later.
Within a month, 95. The fledgling retailer had shipped books to all 50 states and to 45 countries. Founder Jeff Bezos' motto was "Get big fast," and it eventually became the conglomerate is today. Jeff Bezos is the richest person on the face of the earth.
Yeah,
and it all started just selling books.
Selling books.
People thought it was a stupid idea.
And now look at him.
Did anybody get anything on Prime Day?
Today's Prime Day?
The other day was Prime Day.
Oh.
Or yesterday. It was yesterday or the other day.
I didn't.
I usually forget it's Prime Day. I just see people
tweeting
about it.
What is, like, so special about Prime Day?
You just get, like, a bunch of insane good deals on Amazon.
Oh, gotcha.
Now I think I understand why it's, this week is, like, always, like, Prime Day. It's the anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Other facts about Amazon here. Did you know that Jeff Bezos was named Time's Person of the Year in 1999?
Did not.
Already in 1999, he was being recognized like this. By December of 99, they had shipped 20 million items to 150 countries. In that same month, Bezos was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And 2000, the company introduced a service allowing individual sellers and other outside merchants to sell their products along Amazon's own items. Did you know Amazon didn't post its first full year profit until 2003?
Wow.
2007, they debuted the Kindle e-reader. They debuted the Kindle Fire in 2011. And 2017, Bezos is named the richest man in the world.
Yeah.
Did you know that the little smiley face on the side of the box?
A to Z. Yeah.
Correct.
Yep. I was sorry, way ahead of you there.
Wait, what?
There's a little smiley face on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
If you look where it is in the word, it starts under the A at the start of the word and then ends at the Z because it has everything from A to Z.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And also in FedEx, there's the arrow. in the middle of the FedEx logo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's cool finding out like the hidden stuff, mm-hmm. hidden in plain sight logos. Other stuff that happened on day. Oh, on this day, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. was killed in a plane crash.
R.I.P. The Kennedy family, man.
On this day in 1935, the world's first parking meter was installed.
Ugh.
Not that good.
Not a good day.
this day just in kidding. 1790, Congress declares Washington, D.C. the new capital.
Okay.
D.C. This day in 1951.
That's a pretty big one.
The Catcher in the Rye was published. This is like a huge day.
This is a good day in history.
Anything else? Nah, that's about it.
Besides, you know.
Oh, I got one here. On this day, 1918, the Romanov family in Russia was executed by the Bolsheviks, ending a 300-year imperial dynasty in Russia.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Wow. July 16th, man. What the hell?
Jeez.
Just randomly a fantastic day in history. So there you go. Julie doesn't like this day in history.
Not today. Not today.
But Will gets a win. Will gets his first win under my watch.
That was a good game. Close game.
Fantastic game. And we'll be back on the other side to wrap up this fantastic show as well. Last chance to get on the Nextdoor Network hotline here, 865-546-8200. We will come back to wrap up overtime on the other side. Game of Thrones. Go, Game of Thrones.
I miss you.
I miss them too. Last season was disappointing.
Unfulfilling.
That's the better word.
Yeah.
Unfulfilling. However, how about this? Today, the HBO drama walked away with double-digit Emmy nominations. And not only that, they set a new record for the most nominations earned in a single year by any drama series. With 32.
Jeez.
32 nominations, by far and large, an Emmy record.
Let's go.
This year's nominations include one for Best Drama and a bunch of individual nominations for cast members, including Kit Harington, Emilia Clarke, Lena Headey, Sophie Turner, Maisie Williams, and Gwendolyn Christie.
Wow.
This is the first time four actresses from the same drama have been nominated in the supporting actress category. To date, the fantasy series has already won 47 Emmys and has been nominated 161 times, including this year's nominations. It is currently the most Emmy-winning primetime series in history. Just give them all the awards.
Brienne of Tarth getting that nomination.
I don't know if I'd give. Okay. I would not give an award to Kit or Lena. I'm sorry. I love Kit Harington. And Cersei's one of the most amazing villains ever.
Yes.
Lena Headey had like 20 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, and her death was awful.
That too. Even though I wouldn't say that's her fault. But
it's not her fault, but
can you give someone an award for 20 total minutes of screen time? All Jon Snow did this season before, spoiler alert, he killed Daenerys. Yes,
spoiler.
It's been out long enough. It's been out long enough. You heard it. I don't care. Before he did that, all he was doing was, she's my queen.
Yeah.
You'll always be my queen. I don't want the throne.
Yeah.
Winter has already come.
He definitely.
I don't want the throne.
Yep.
You don't give him a word for that. But 32,
not a good look.
32 dominations, though. Let's go to the Nextdoor Home Network hotline here in the show with a call from Roger. Roger, buddy, welcome into overtime. What you got for us?
I just want to ask you about today, but I just want to say how y'all doing tonight.
Roger, doing fantastic, buddy.
Really well.
Cool. Julie, how you doing, Julie?
I'm good. How are you, Roger?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to ask y'all, did y'all see the Todd Pruitt talk today? I can see it. I heard a highlights of a tunnel, and I get to hear the rest of the. Did y'all get to see any a Pruitt and a player or two. What I have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, Roger got a lot of the quotes going up and down. Yeah, Roger, obviously, a lot of the main unifying theme today is all the players very confident. They're confident in new staff changes, and it looks like they're definitely confident to make a bowl game as well, so they're ready for the season.
Yeah. So what so Tanner and Julia, after what Pruitt said and what Tanner said, he sound confident, and Pruitt does too. He said the best staff in the country. Do you think the staff he got, Tanner and Julia, about anything took out to you about what he said, everything he said today about?
Hey, Roger, thanks for a phone call, buddy, up against it here. But the one thing that stuck out to me was just how much he hated speaking to the media.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, a lot of the other stuff he said was stuff that's kind of predictable about the coaching stuff. He did get the update about the non-update on Aubrey Solomon and D'Angelo Gibbs as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was disappointing that there's no movement on that. But, I mean, he's very confident in Derek Ansley, very confident
in
Jim Chaney being added to the staff. So, bring it on, show on the field. That's all I got to say.
Let's do it.
For Julia Ramsey, Will Stevens, I'm Tanner Carson. We are out of time here on Overtime. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at 6 o'clock on your Wednesday. Y'all take care, and we will see you then.